so. My teacher seems to feel the same way too. And good morning. You have tuned into Problem Corner on Cafe Hour 660 AM 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he who cannot be named. And today I'm going to be talking about the permanent fund dividend. And there's been, let's see, a petition going around on change.org, and they're up to 27,500 signatures on that petition to ask the legislature to follow the law, which seems to me like a pretty good idea. So we're going to be talking about that today and some of the background on it. And this is a solo show this morning, so I will be welcoming your calls. Anything that you want to know about the dividend or anything else that's on your mind, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And with that, let's see, I guess before we get into the dividend, I do need to remind people that early voting for the local elections is open as we speak. And the early voting station is at the Bentley Mall, down off of College Road, down at the Michaels end of Bentley Mall. And you can go down there, and they have all of the voter lists for each of the precincts, so you can go down there and cast an early vote at the Bentley Mall. And the reason for one of the advantages now, I guess, of casting an early vote is that they are going to, the borough is going to be hand counting one of the races in the early vote tallies to verify the accuracy of the voting tabulation machines. That has been a big issue, so the borough assembly decided to go ahead and ask the canvassing board to hand count the early election ballots, and that'll happen after that's completed the day the early voting is completed the day before the election, so those results are tallied on the day of the election. Now, the other option, you can go to the borough's offices down past Pioneer Road past the News Miner, and you can cast an absentee in-person ballot. And that is more or less the same thing. The only difference is that the absentee ballots don't get counted until they start counting them election night. So that's not in the tally, just for those that are interested. And you can also do absentee voting at the City of Fairbanks clerk's office or the City of North Poles clerk's office. I went out there yesterday and tried it out, and sure enough, it worked. She had everything that we needed to do. So I cast an absentee in-person vote out at the North Pole City Hall. So you can vote absentee in-person at the North Pole City Hall, the Fairbanks City Hall, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough main offices. And you can vote early at the Bentley Mall off of College Road. So that's important. The weather is, we have kind of a day, it just started snowing. You never know what the weather is going to be. You never know what's going to happen on the day of the election. So if you're in town or in North Pole, drop by and cast an early vote or an absentee in-person vote, and then you will have taken care of your right and your responsibility. And I have a phone call. This is good. Good morning. You're on KFR, and who am I speaking with?
This is Jeannie Olson out in North Pole.
Jeannie, how are you today?
Good. I wanted to call to express a concern and let people know, in case they haven't been following it about the big fat tire trucks that a tour operator wants to start doing over in the Two Rivers area on the trails. And he has applied for a permit through DNR, and then the paper caught wind of it and had an article about it about a week and a half ago. And he had said that he was going to withdraw his permit and reassess it based on the feedback from the community. However, he did not withdraw his permit, and the DNR has extended their deadline for comments to today. Mm-hmm. But there also is going to be a Two Rivers informational meeting tonight out at the community center in Two Rivers. And I brought it up last night at the assembly meeting, and it sounded like there was some genuine interest, even with assembly people going. But this is a biggie, because we're kind of at the crossroads of trying to decide compatible trail use.
Yes.
Again. and these big trucks are not compatible with the rest of the trail use, in my opinion.
Sure.
But not only that, there's concerns environmentally. Tires that big, they put a product in there called 8PDD, which is a compound that makes the tires more durable. Mm-hmm. But they react with, but the chemical reacts with ozone, and the little tiny particle treads that invariably come off with tread wear converts that chemical to 8PDD quinone, which is very toxic to baby salmon. And the tributaries on the Chena have the highest count of baby salmon in the interior. Mm-hmm. And king salmon are almost now on the endangered list.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about compatible trail use with the rest of the people that are using the trails, cross-country skiers, dog mushers, etc. Mm-hmm. These are 8-foot-wide vehicles that are with full of tour people, and they're going to be going all year long, including during breakup and freeze-up, when the trails are very vulnerable to being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I really give credit to the Two River Mushers out there. They have really worked hard to maintain those trails, and make them usable for everybody, including the four-wheelers, which they have they use four-wheelers for winter or early season training too.
Mm-hmm.
But and the skiers, and berry pickers, everything. And so I just encourage people to become more aware of it. And if you want to go, there's some information on Amanda Brooks Henderson's Facebook page. She's posted a lot of stuff, and if you feel comfortable enough to write at least that you're concerned, you can address the DNR person. To contact is Diana Lehman, so it's DIANA.LEHMAN at alaska.gov.
Okay. And is there a website? Well, can you find the website, I guess, on DNR?
I don't know. I don't know that they've created a website.
Mm-hmm.
I think, they've been scrambling trying to learn about it and contact all the people that they can. I fear that, in a way it is somewhat a borough issue, because these are borough-recognized trails in our trail plan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Okay.
But also it's a DNR issue. They're the ones that are going to issue the permit or not.
Right.
So that raises it up to the state level with you and other legislators possibly putting pressure on DNR. So there's that, and I'll just be brief on that, but 7 o'clock tonight out at Two Rivers.
7 o'clock tonight out at Two Rivers, and where in Two Rivers again?
It's the community center. So
you
turn right just past the gas station.
Yep, and then kind of follow.
And then you just follow it along. There's softball fields back there, and you can't really get lost. You probably just follow the cars.
It's not like a computer. A computer, you can always get lost. But if you make it out to Two Rivers, turn right past the gas station and look for some cars and look for the community center back there, you will find it.
Turn right, and then you take the next right, basically.
All right. Very good. And that's 7 o'clock tonight, talking about the Two Rivers Trail. So it's a good thing to get out there and let your viewpoint be known and listen and see what it's all about. Good to go to those in person. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks for letting me on.
All right, you bet. Well, that's interesting. So that's tonight at 7 out at the Two Rivers Community Center, just past the gas station, talking about a permit to operate, I think they're called fat tire trucks, on the trail system. You can weigh in on that this evening at 7 o'clock. And we've got about a quarter after the hour, so I have to take a little pause here and go to some commercial messages. You're listening to Problem Corner. We're going to be talking about the PFD and a petition that's circulating on the PFD. So stay with us. We will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Comfortable, friendly, professional, and yes, affordable. Those are just some of the words locals use to describe the service they receive from the folks at Affordable Dental Care. Let's face it, nobody loves going to the dentist, but the staff at Affordable Dental Care go above and beyond to make sure you and your entire family's dental experience is an easy one, using the latest technology and procedures with your comfort and care in mind, and at a price that your family can afford. That's Affordable Dental Care on 14th Avenue, just off Airport Way. Affordable Dental Care.
Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center, Interior Alaska's choice for state-of-the-art eye care. Find relief with the most advanced dry eye center in the interior. See clearly and be free of your reading glasses and contacts for good. Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center. Surgeons Dr. Laura Kearsley and Dr. Jason Crosscree specialize in premium cataract surgery, LASIK laser vision correction, and treatment of eye disease. All insurance accepted. Schedule your consultation. Visit mountainvieweyes.com.
McKinley Orthopedics Sports Medicine and Spine is officially the number one sports medicine clinic in Fairbanks. The official team doctors for the Fairbanks North Star Borough and the UAF Nanooks, our team of board-certified physicians, are here to treat the entire community. No matter your sport, we will get you back in the game. Concussions, back pain, dislocations, and fractures. We have operative and non-operative physicians standing by. With on-site MRI and surgical services, we can care for all injuries in one location. Open until 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Walk-ins welcome. Visit McKinleyOrtho.com.
KFAR weather.
Chance of rain today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 42. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Slight chance for rain showers becoming mixed precipitation. Tonight, lows dip down to about 33. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Problem Corner, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. I'm going to be talking about the Permanent Fund Dividend. And if you want to call in and participate in the show, any questions or comments, you'd be doing me a big favor. So the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And with that, so what happened? There was somebody, a gentleman, last name Spahn, I'm sorry, I forgot his first name, started a petition on change.org to ask the legislature to restore and protect the permanent fund dividend. And they have already collected, as of this morning, 27,500 signatures. So that seems to be important. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. So the dividend was just came out. If you applied electronically, the dividend should have showed up in your bank account by now, and that is a $1,000 dividend. If you applied via paper application, or if you want them to send you a check, then that might take another couple of weeks for that to show up in your mailbox. But you should have had a deposit made if you applied electronically into your bank account for $1,000. And the complaint, legitimate complaint, is that it is only $1,000. The formula, there is a formula that exists in statute, still exists in statute, that is determines what is supposed to be the amount of the permanent fund dividend. And let me get my number here. the statute for those. It would be helpful to grab a pen if you want to write some of this down. The statute is 43.23.025, which establishes the amount of the dividend. And if they went by that statute, it would be in the neighborhood of $3,800. But the legislature, several years ago, I want to say 2016, was during the Walker administration, they appropriated an amount that was less than, they appropriated the full amount. Governor Walker vetoed that down. He vetoed it down to about half and then just crossed right through the statute that determines the amount of the dividend. And that was quite a deal that he vetoed an existing statute. So the legislature did not elect to try and override his veto back in 2016, which then precipitated a lawsuit by Senator Willikowski. He challenged the governor's right to do that because the Alaska Constitution dictates that the amount or the legislature can appropriate money from the dividend fund, or if not, the dividend itself is calculated by a formula. It doesn't take another appropriation. That was decided by the Willikowski court several years ago, and the court ruled that it did require an appropriation. So the legislature now decides spending for everything else that the state programs need funding for, and then the dividend is whatever is left over from that as determined by the legislature. But what is interesting is that the statute that makes citizens eligible for the dividend is still on the books. The legislature is simply ignoring that statute and appropriating another amount. And let me get this right. Okay, 43, if you want to write this down, it's 43.23.005, which establishes if you lived in Alaska for a year and you file an application, then you are eligible for an amount that is calculated by 43.23.045. There's a lot of statutes in there, and it pays to just, the one to remember is where it starts is 43.23.005. So by statute, we are technically, legally eligible for a dividend that is calculated according to the statute, and the legislature has been appropriating an amount less than that. The Willikowski decision did not address that problem. So we have just been underpaid according to statute, and that is a very serious problem in my mind, that the legislature is not following the statute. And that's really the primary point of this petition, is that they're not following the statute, which is not a good practice. This is something we have to pay attention to and stay on. Our representatives understand what's going on and insist that they follow statutes. The legislature has every right to change that statute. They just have not done so, and this petition is to encourage the legislature to follow the statute. Now, having said that, I would imagine that a number of people that are listening to this today have signed that petition. The petition is a good step. Frankly, I'm not sure how it goes from there. I would imagine the gentleman that started the petition is collecting all the names of the individuals, and I hope that he forwards that to the legislature. But the petition that is circulating right now is worth doing. I don't want to discourage anybody from that, but we're going to have to go further than that. And the next steps would be to send a letter to your representative expressing your desire for them to follow the statute. I don't know that anything can be done about that for this year's dividend payment, but the legislature needs to know that the dividend is important to people, and they should either follow the statute or change it. So, if you haven't done so, go to change.org, look for that petition, and go ahead and get your name on there as somebody who supports it, and then write an email to your legislator, your representative and senator, and let them know that you expect them to follow the law. Now, there are some complications, and if anyone wants to call in, ask questions about this, this is kind of a detailed project, give us a call. The number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And we will discuss the permanent fund dividend. Now, the other side of this, take my hat off and put on the legislator's hat here. The reason, from the legislature's perspective, is that the amount of income coming into the state from oil, royalty revenue, production tax, and all of the other taxes that come in is less than the demand for services by quite a bit. So if we do follow the law and pay out according to the statute, then other programs are going to go wanting. And so if you send a letter to your representative, we also have to keep in mind, okay, if we want the dividend, then what do we want cut? Do we want less of something else that the state is spending its money on? Because we have even over the last several years, we've been drawing from savings, and that amount in savings is going down. We can see the end of the savings from here. And we cannot continue this way for too many more years. I expect that there will be some income coming in when the Pica Project and the Willow Project and all of the other development that's going on the North Slope, when that comes to fruition in give or take 2029, 2030, we are going to be looking at more revenue, and that's going to help out. But in the meantime, if we want something, we have to tell the legislators what we are willing to give up or take on that responsibility ourselves and go from there. So I hear the music in the background. So we're going to hear from some national news, the weather, and some words from our sponsors. So we're going to take a break for that, but stay with us. We're talking about the permanent fund dividend, and we'll get all the details after these messages. So stay with us. We will be right back.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. Former FBI Director James Comey has been indicted on charges he lied to Congress about leaking information related to a probe of the Trump campaign's connections to Russia. President Trump, your thoughts.
Before I came to office, I started hearing rumors about Russia. I said, what the hell do I have to do with Russia? Nothing. And then it got worse and worse, and some of the fake news, not you, but some of the fake news picked it up and they loved it.
Never Democrats and civil liberties groups have called the charges against Comey an act of political retribution. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Republicans have refused to meet with Democrats for a simple reason.
Republicans want to shut down the government. They want to continue to inflict pain on the American people. And they want to continue to gut the health care of everyday Americans. Democrats are not going to go along to get along.
Congress needs to figure out a spending bill by September 30th. That's the deadline to agree on funding or see a partial shutdown. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports two people were hurt Wednesday after they encountered a brown bear on a trail in the Exit Glacier area near Seward, Alaska State Troopers said. Troopers in an online statement said a hospital notified them just after 9 p.m. that two people in the emergency room had been attacked by a brown bear. The attack occurred about a quarter mile up the trail. Both people had to fight off the bear, Troopers said. They suffered injuries described as non-life-threatening. Local biologists and troopers were expected to assess the area at first light Thursday. The National Park Service was also notified, and the trail was closed until further notice. Local biologists, Alaska State Troopers, and Alaska Wildlife Troopers will assess the area at first light. The attack marks the latest in a series of brown bear encounters this season. Most recently, a jogger was mauled as she left her Kenai Peninsula home for a run in late August. The park posts warnings to the public to practice bear safety measures like carrying bear spray, talking loudly, and hiking in groups. And dogs are prohibited on trails to avoid stressing wildlife.
Online at KFAR660.com.
This time of year, nobody wants to talk about winter, but it's always good to be prepared. Like with the trees in your yard. Some of them might be leaning a bit, and they could take out a power line, hit a car, or worse, your house. So take care of it now with the professionals at the Great Alaska Tree Company. They can take down troubled trees, cut them up, and haul them away. That's what Great Alaska Tree Company does. Licensed, bonded, insured. So be prepared with the Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate for your year-round and emergency service at 978-4702.
I'm Patrick Roach, and I'm ready to serve on our Borough Assembly. I have loved Fairbanks since I first moved here 30 years ago to attend UAF. I have worked as a teacher and am now a public defender to those in need in our community. On Assembly, I will fund education for strong schools, protect the things that make our borough great, our trails, libraries, and recreational spaces, and I will fight for more affordable housing. Thank you for voting for Patrick Roach for Assembly.
Paid for by Patrick Roach for Assembly, P.O. Box 81745, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99708.
Don't miss the Tanana Valley State Fair 10th Anniversary Fall Festival, Saturday, October 4th from noon to 6. Fall is a colorful time of year, and they're celebrating with food trucks, music, hay rides, a petting zoo, games, a movie, story time, and much more. You'll also be able to pick out a pumpkin and purchase it on the spot. This is a fun event for the entire family. The Fall Festival, Saturday, October 4th, noon to 6 at the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds. Only $6 a person or $15 for a single family. For more information, visit tvfsa.org.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he who cannot be named. And we're talking about the permanent fund dividend. The number to call, again, is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And we have two calls, so I better go to the phone. Good morning, you're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
Hey, good morning, Mike. It's Miguel. How are you?
I am well. And you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good.
I want to discuss our PFD that we're talking about.
Yep.
For the second year in a row, a borough assembly has not made it a legislative priority. So I want members in our community to hear me well. That's 2 years in a row that our borough assembly did not make it a legislative priority for our citizens. So that was decided last night at the assembly meeting. Like you said, people, they want their PFD. I guess it's change.org, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
They could sign that petition.
Yep.
You know.
But you make a good point. We should go down to the assembly. They pass resolutions all the time, and let the assembly know that we want them to make that a legislative priority. So good. Yep. Thank you for calling. I've got another call, so I better go to that line.
All right.
Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Randy.
Randy, what can we do for you?
Well, the discussion on the PFD is very important. However, I was hoping, if I may, to talk about a different subject.
We can do that.
Okay. And I wanted to talk about the city mayor race. However, I do not want to mention the name of the existing mayor or talk about anything about him, except to say that he is doing a very excellent job, in my opinion. But I did want to talk about the opponent that is running.
Okay.
I don't have to mention her name, but if I may, I would, but it's up to you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Her name is Mindy O'Neill, and she is presently on the borough assembly and is serving her second term and will term out in October. And I am not in favor of her being the city mayor.
Okay.
Not that she's not a, you know, I don't know her very well. I've never hardly spoken to her, so maybe a sentence or two or something. I've seen her around, you know, over the years. In fact, I saw her yesterday. I happened to go into the borough assembly when they're having their meeting for a little bit of time.
Okay, but keep it going. I've got another call, so keep going.
Okay. I have great fear about her becoming mayor, and my fear is based on a massive anti-discrimination ordinance being passed if she becomes mayor. I have not heard her talk about this or her position on this, nor have I heard any of the borough assembly members or the borough mayor, who is Grier Hopkins, not the city mayor, that's the borough mayor. They don't talk about a massive ordinance on regarding anti-discrimination for like the LGBT category and other categories. And the reason is because the borough is a second-class government. They just simply don't have the power to foist such a freedom-robbing law upon the city or the town.
Okay.
However, the Fairbanks City is a first-class city, which means they do have the power to do that, and that's exactly what they did in 2019. Valerie Therrien was also on the council at that point, and she's on the council at this point, and they passed by a vote of 4-2 Ordinance 6093, which was a sweeping, burdensome anti-discrimination ordinance that had all kinds of different categories. Some of them already covered in state or federal law, but what it added was the LGBT sexual orientation, gender expression, and identity and so forth, and they passed it. And the only thing that saved us by a hair was the veto from the existing mayor at the time, Jim Matherly, and by the grace from above, you know, he vetoed that horrible thing. But if she becomes mayor, and if the three existing, if the three existing city council members, who are all ladies, they just happen to be the left-leaning ones, if they pass it and it's a 3-3 tie, the mayor can cast the deciding vote. And I am pretty I suspect strongly that Mindy O'Neill, being a very left-leaning person, would pass that. You know, she went to the Pride Fest back in July, which is no problem. I got nothing against the Pride Fest, but she was there. I wasn't there. But
I better let you go. We've got to move on to other callers. Thank you, Randy. And
be careful when voting for the city mayor.
Be careful when voting. Okay, got it. And don't forget that you can do early voting from today. They're open at the Bentley Mall. You can cast an early vote or down. You can cast an absentee ballot, absentee in person, they call it, at the City Hall, Fairbanks or North Pole, or at the Borough Office Building. We'll move on from there. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
My name's Jim.
Jim, what can we do for you today?
Well, I want to get off a little bit of the subject of the permanent fund.
Okay.
And since you are our representative here in North Pole, what can you do about the stupid calcium chloride they're putting on the highways during the winter? I know they got a petition in Kenai to get rid of it. So how can we get rid of it here? Because if you notice, most of the trucks running around or cars or pickups, they're rusting away, and that's one thing is about Fairbanks was years ago that you never had to worry about rust up here.
Right. So the alternative to that from the DOT's point of view is, what do they call it, crushed rocks, grit. And
I'd rather have that than calcium chloride.
Sure.
At least I can replace the windshield.
Yep.
Can't replace the side of my pickup bed.
Yep.
Or my fenders.
Yep. Point well taken. I will make a note of that and give DOT a call and see what we can do about that.
Okay, yeah, because I understand the guy that runs the DOT now is from Minnesota or Michigan or somewhere back there,
mm-hmm.
and he thought, well, that it works great back there. Why doesn't it work up here? Well,
yep.
it does work up here, but it eats everybody's vehicles up.
Yep. All right. Well, I will take note of that and give DOT a call, see what their plan is, what we might be able to do as an alternative, and that might be the subject of another show, because that's the next thing that's going to come up is we are going to get snow that stays on the roads, and we're looking at winter, and we've got to be prepared for that. So,
that's true. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, thank
good.
You.
All right, thank you for calling. All right, good point. And just to remind you, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Problem Corner, KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. And it's an open line. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. But what if we're not talking about something else, we're going to be talking about the permanent fund dividend and what we can do to resolve the debate, get something established that at least, can I say, gives the legislature an opportunity to follow the law? No, to pressure, encourage the legislature to either follow the law that applies to the dividend or change the law, but don't just ignore the law. That's the main point that we need to get across to our legislature, because that's a problem bigger than the dividend. The legislature has trouble. When they don't want to follow a law, they just simply ignore it. And that's not how a civil society is supposed to operate. So, with that, before the break, we had talked about a bit of the consequences. From the legislature's point of view, we can't simply pay out a bigger dividend because we are going to run out of money to pay that. And there's two parts to the permanent fund account. There's the principal account, and there is the earnings reserve account. And I forget the exact number, but it's in the range of $15 billion in the earnings reserve account, which is there to carry us through. But we have been burning through money quite rapidly, and we can't continue to do that. So, but the way that the statute currently exists is that the permanent fund corporation calculates the earnings of the permanent fund over the last 5 years and then takes 25% of that, and really the first draw on the earnings reserve account should go to the permanent fund dividend account, and then what's left over goes to inflation proofing and can be put into the operating fund, general fund. Now, the legislature did pass a law that limits the draw on the earnings reserve account to 5% of the market value of the entire permanent fund, both the reserve account and the principal. The earnings on that, 5% of that over the last 5 years is the amount, the maximum amount that can be drawn out of the earnings reserve account. And the dividend formula, just for full information, does conflict somewhat with the PMOV draw. And let's see, I see that we have quarter to the hour. That means we have to take a break here and hear some words from our sponsors and get the local weather. But stay tuned. You're listening to Problem Corner. We're talking about the permanent fund dividend, and whatever else might be on your mind. So stay with us. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
This is Mayor David Pruse. Cleaning up our town has been a proud accomplishment for me, but I'm not done. In fact, I'm just getting warmed up. As a mayor, you only get a fixed amount of time to accomplish the things you believe in. Therefore, I do not waste a day. It's been a great 3 years as your mayor. We are getting better, and I've charted a great direction for the future of Fairbanks. Let's continue making Fairbanks the best city in our state. That is my standard. Please vote for me, David Pruse, the Fairbanksan, on Tuesday, October 7th.
Paid for by David Pruse for mayor. 324 Brandt Street, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701.
Hi there. My name is Garrett Armstrong, and I love our local schools. I went through schools in Fairbanks, earned my master's in education at UAF, and now teach at Wood River Elementary, the same school I attended. I'm running for Borough Assembly to support our students. I want them to have the best educational opportunities possible, and I believe this is the greatest investment that we can make in our community's future. If you agree, then vote for me, Garrett Armstrong, for Borough Assembly this October 7th. Paid for by Garrett Armstrong for Borough Assembly, P.O. Box 73724, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99707.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK.
Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy this afternoon with a chance for isolated rain showers. High of 42, northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Slight chance for rain showers becoming mixed precipitation. Lows around 33. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and we are talking about the permanent fund dividend or whatever else is on your mind. So if you want to participate in the question in the program, if you have questions or comments, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And you will be doing me a favor if you do call in. So with that, we go on. We had been talking about the fact that the legislature is not following statutes as far as the permanent fund dividend, paying out the permanent fund dividend. Statutorily, we are entitled to an amount, a dividend amount that is calculated by a formula that is in statute, and the legislature is not following that statute, and it's very important that we encourage them to do that. But we do have some problems. We talked about the change that was made about the maximum that can be drawn out of the permanent fund, out of the earnings reserve account, and there is eventually the permanent fund dividend statutory formula. The payout amount for that could exceed the POMV amount that is also in statute. So that is something that really does need to be fixed. But this is a political debate now. We lost the battle in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said you can't ignore the statute, which there's some problems with that too, but we're kind of beyond that. Supreme Court has spoken. We'll have to take that. But if we want, as a political matter, if we want to continue to receive the dividend, we are going to have to find some other revenue. And the simplest way to do that, and I've introduced a bill to accomplish that. If you have your pencil, that's House Bill 11, which would enable the Department of Revenue to just let us check a box on the electronic permanent fund dividend application. If we don't want the dividend, which is entirely your right, check a box, and then that payment would go directly into the general fund. Now, that is something you can still do. Again, you'll need your pencil here. If you do not want your permanent fund dividend, you think that the that supporting other state programs is more important than paying out a dividend to the to everyone, what you can do is send a check to the state of Alaska. And it's State of Alaska, Department of Revenue, Fiscal Section, P.O. Box 110410, Juneau, Alaska, 99811. And I checked with the Revenue Department a few years ago, and there are only five people that are doing that currently. On the other hand, when I'm in Juneau, there are lots of people that come down there advocating for programs, and they say that they would be happy to give up their permanent fund dividend in order to keep these other programs going. And, you know, frankly, I don't want to argue with them. If somebody wants to, sincerely wants to keep these programs going, and you think that it is more important to have those programs running than receiving a dividend from the state, that's entirely your prerogative. I don't want to argue with you. But if you're sincere about that, you should send a check. Send a check or a money order to the State of Alaska, Department of Revenue, Fiscal Section, P.O. Box 110410, Juneau, Alaska, 99811. And if we all were sincere about what we wanted, and we would rather have the services than the dividend check, just go ahead and send your check down to the state, and they will gladly accept it. And you can even designate the program that you want to fund. Otherwise, it just goes into the general fund. And if we're being honest, excuse me, and sincere with each other, that's what we should do. We should send that check back voluntarily. Or if you think you need it, which a lot of people do, this is a really important part. It has become an essential part of many families' finances. The formula amount is about $3,800. The payout this year is only $1,000. And if you multiply that by a family of four, that is real money that helps them buy fuel, helps them, well, in many cases, buy food for their family and whatever else that they think they need. And I think the families are more qualified to decide what they need than I am as a state representative. So I encourage, I favor as high a dividend payout as we can get, and we can get a higher payout. If you want to send that to the state, you're just welcome to do that. And I have a phone call, and thank you for calling. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, Mike. This is Jamie. Look, thank you for bringing this up. I wish people would stick to it. Although, I mean, Randy is the only honest person that I've ever heard of that actually sends his back or doesn't apply for or whatever it is he's been doing all these years.
Randy's so, great. He and I've four been thinking,
well, at least, and he's, you know, and I've been thinking for ages. I mean, when Mike Dunleavy put out his first budget, I waited for 6.5 hours to testify. By then, my then senator had left. I mean, there's only a few people left listening.
Right.
And people were pretty nasty to me, but I was like, I'm going for this budget, and I testified in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it should have gone further because it's a spending problem. So these people that want it, and thanks for introducing something for them to check off, but you know nobody's gonna. But I could really use that because the state actually owes me a lot of money by statute. And so the thing is I have never read, I don't have access, too much computer access or anything or ability to have read the actual decision. So was the Supreme Court decision, and I'm always like, wow, Bill Wolakowski, whatever his name is, can't pronounce it. But I was glad. I'm like, well, a Democrat brought this to the Supreme Court, and lost. But anyway, but was that on the grounds of the legislators' ability to appropriate? Was that solely it?
Well, sort of. There is a provision, Article 9, Section 19, I think it is. At any rate, you prohibits dedicated funds. And the whole point of the constitutional amendment to create the permanent fund was they needed to have a way to dedicate royalty income, dedicate it to a special fund. And then within that, the last sentence of that says that the income from the fund requires an appropriation or as otherwise provided by law. And an appropriation is a law. It has the same weight, the same status as a statute. And if there is a statute that, in my mind, fulfills the restriction in the Constitution as otherwise appropriated by law. And when that case went to court, they referenced another case, and it gets complicated, but they referenced another case, Hickel v. Cooper, and they used the language in the Constitution and the statute to say it doesn't say provided that the legislature appropriates this money, it's in statute. There's no other statutory requirement if the legislature never met again that dividends should be paid out. And they said there was an attorney general opinion back in the Hammond administration, I believe it was Av Groves, said, nope, this you don't need another appropriation. But his opinion is you don't need it, but what the heck? Make an appropriation that agrees with that amount, and then nobody argues. And that went on for, pretty near 20 years, and then this came up. And then the court relied on a second attorney general opinion. They said, no, it still requires an appropriation. And I think that the court made a mistake, because Av Groves,
I agree.
Av Groves was there when the debate occurred. The lawsuit was Wolakowski and Clem Tillion and Rick Helfert, and they were there. They were in, or Wolakowski was not, but Helfert and Tillion were in the legislature when that constitutional amendment was debated. So I would say they are witnesses to the scene, and they are, their opinion counts more. It's the same if you're at, if you're involved in an accident. A witness that sees the accident is more credible than somebody who read about it in the paper. So I think they made a mistake, but we have that decision, and I'm hearing the music in the background, so
too bad, but thanks.
All right, thank you for calling.
All right, bye, Mike.
Yeah, so thank you for listening to Problem Corner this morning. We've been talking about the permanent fund dividend. If you want that dividend, there is a petition on change.org. Go ahead and sign it. But we're going to have to do more. We're going to have to get on the legislature and tell them follow the law or change it. Thank you for listening, and we will tune in again on Monday for more Problem Corner. Thanks again.
Snapback sanctions are coming. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. The UN Security Council just rejecting a last-ditch effort to delay sanctions on Iran over its nuclear program. Meantime, Iran's president denies initiating attacks on any countries, even through proxies. Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis in Yemen, telling Fox's Martha